Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I'm so grateful that you are listening. I'm so grateful that you're out there and that you're fans of the show. Today is going to be another one of those great shows. I know I say that every time, but it's true. But before I go on and introduce my guest, Elizabeth, you know, of course, there were a couple of technical difficulties before I went on the air, and sometimes that happens, but that is what life is about, and that is what the show Reality Spirituality is about. Reality Spirituality is not a religion. It's a guide to living connected to the most powerful energy source. Now, what's the most powerful energy source? Well, some people use the term God. Some people say Buddha. Some people say higher power, source, energy. I use the term universe. So Reality Spirituality is about living connected 24/7 to the universe. And we dissect our everyday life experiences, everyday technical difficulties, rude cashier, somebody cutting you off in traffic, everyday life experiences down to the least common denominator to discover why we're not as happy as we could be. And when I use the word happy, I'm referring to an internal happiness, an unwavering peace of mind, an internal contentment, a knowing that everything that happens unfolds the way it's supposed to. A knowing that your life, my life, and everybody else's life is in perfect order. Not only is everything in perfect order, but every circumstance, everything that happens to us, believe it or not, audience, is a gift. And so that's what this life, business life, that's what this show focuses on. And one of my favorite quotes is, you can't have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Now, for our guest today, Elizabeth, I know I didn't have a chance to chat with you before, only because technical difficulties, but let me introduce you to my guest, my audience. Elizabeth Scala is a nurse turned coach and Reiki master. She has gone through her own major transformation from physical health that was in the toilet and mental health that was like a roller coaster. Oh, I can relate to that one. Emotional mood swings, and absolutely no spiritual health. And now she's happy, she's grateful, and she's peaceful. And she wrote a wonderful book. It's called Back to the Basics, A Pocket Guide for Health. And I am really excited to welcome our guest, Elizabeth Scala. Elizabeth, welcome to Reality Spirituality.
Hello, Rebecca. Hello, everyone listening. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, yes. I'm excited to have you. I was on your website a few days ago, and then I refreshed my memory yesterday. And let me just say this. One of the things you and I have in common is smiling. I love it. Your videos, you're just smiling. And I'm the same way. I mean, just smile. It's just... I don't know. I just love that. I love that about you. So were you always smiling, or did you just learn to smile a little bit later in life?
I think probably later in life, to be honest with you, as you read in my bio, you know, I wasn't always the happiest of people, and I have a beautiful smile. I do think that of myself, and I'm grateful for you pointing that out for the listeners. And yes, I've received many compliments and comments about my smile. So actually, in working with some of my own mentors and my own coaches, I've been kind of working on building that smile and feeling that smile on my face, but, you know, inside my entire body. So smiling inside and out. So, yes, I love to smile.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I was going to say, too, because when I was looking at you, your smile definitely comes from within. It's an internal smile, and it's an internal smile which is to me so, wow, it's like a magnet. You cannot look at your face and not want to smile back.
Thank you so much. I think another thing about that smile, I have to share this real quick if I can, is it's actually a family trait. My uncle had a huge and beautiful smile on his face, and he, you know, as you were mentioning in your show introduction, he took his own life in 2010. However, you know, in that moment, everyone is tragedy, upset, sad, and, you know, continues to miss him, of course. But again, I feel like now I have his smile. And when I smile, I feel like that's such a gift that we're still connected. So even in that, you know, unfortunate and unhappy experience, I attribute my smile to my uncle. So I just wanted to share that as well.
Yeah, feel free to share whatever you'd like. Okay, now we're going to have to go to his uncle. Because that's what this, you know, the show is just about everyday life. And so he had such a wonderful smile, and how did it end up him taking his own life?
He was struggling with substance abuse and was very proud, very, very proud. And so probably had a difficult time reaching out for help and support. However, that smile was very evident at all of the services, because numerous people came up to my mom, his sister, obviously, and then myself, and telling us about his smile. And every day at work, he was always smiling, and, you know, what a shock. So the smile was glowing on his face, and the numbers of people that came out to all of the services, it just showed that, you know, he was smiling to the world and sharing his smile with others. It just wasn't always probably a smile that was felt inside as well.
Thank you so much for sharing that personal story. I love that. And let me just say this. I say what I'm inspired to say. And let me say this, that it just sounds like, and it feels like, more importantly, it feels like to me that he was such a gift, and he brought so much, you know, when someone is down or whatever they're going through, and someone is smiling, and they can look to that smile for, you know, just to feel good for a second, and it just seems like he was such a gift to so many people. It feels like he was such a gift. I mean, when you said a man smiling, I'm trying to think of a man that I know that smiles like that, and I can't think of one in my life that I knew. Yeah, so what a gift he was.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, people from the neighborhood came up and said how he helped them, you know, in the garage or in the lawn, and how he was kind of mentoring younger people, and at work he was so helpful. So, yes, I believe the same, and I feel that, you know, you're sensing the right thing, that he definitely was a gift for other people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's go to you. Now, you said you were a nurse, and then what started your journey? I mean, okay, I love it. You said your health was in the toilet, and your emotional health was like a roller coaster. I've actually written articles about being on a roller coaster. And where did, you know, so knowing all that, I love it when people are in, that can really look in the mirror and determine, okay, I'm not happy with this, I'm not comfortable with this, and I need to make a change. What really triggered your change, if there was one thing or more than one thing?
Well, it was, I think it accumulated over time, but I think the kind of final closing things that were happening were I was really arguing quite often with my now husband. At the time, we weren't married yet, and we were arguing very, very violently and miserably, and, you know, kind of destroying the property of our house. In kind of putting holes in walls and things, and that I looked around and was like, this can't be sustainable, because we're not going to have, you know, a refrigerator if we keep breaking the door off or something like that. And so that was definitely one of the wake-up calls. And then and other ones would be coming home from work and just going either through huge bouts of anger or throwing these kind of temper tantrums where I would be sobbing and throwing myself on the bed and really acting like an adult two-year-old, and then getting so exhausted and passing out. So that was kind of a huge wake-up call as well.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I thank you so much for being honest. I love this. So now, when growing up, did you witness any of that behavior in your family, or you just decided to create that for yourself?
Oh. No, yeah, actually, that's what's surprising. I did not witness anything. And really, we didn't watch much television. I didn't, you know, people would say, have you seen that movie? I didn't watch movies. I didn't play video games. So I didn't really have violent images. And the temper tantrum thing, too, I mean, no, that wasn't even put up with. If we started acting out, you know, my parents would say, well, then we're going to leave, or you can go sit in the car. So it wasn't like I was able to throw temper tantrums. So maybe now I just, as an adult, wanted to get all of that out of my system. But, yeah, it was definitely something brand new.
You know what? I'm telling you right now that we're so connected, because I've had bouts of anger. And I remember the first time I threw something, and I couldn't even believe that I did it. But in my house, that was, I never witnessed any of that either. And then I've been thinking about it, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I was repressed, and you know, I needed to let some of that shit out. And I don't know. I'm gonna have to figure out what happened and why it happened, because I'd love to try to go back and want to know why. So interesting. And you just, and you know what it feels like. Well, for me, I got so tired of feeling like that. I got tired of getting angry. I got tired of just feeling up and down. It was too much.
Yes, it's very exhausting. I mean, as evidenced by those moments where I would, like I said, be sobbing, and then all of a sudden I was like passed out and waking up and being like, what the heck happened? It really is like being a child and being that you're exhausting yourself physically and emotionally. So, yeah, it's very tiring to act and live that way. It's hard to sustain it. That's what I was like, how much longer can I keep this up? I can't keep living like this.
It is hard to sustain it. Well, I know people that really try really hard to sustain it, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. So what did you start? What was the beginning for you? What did you start doing or start knowing? Or, you know, what was the beginning of the turning?
Yeah. The first thing I really, really, because I've reflected on this as well, and I do speak about this a lot in my work. So I noticed the first thing I started doing was just telling everyone and anyone and everywhere, people that would listen, that, you know, I wanted something different. And I sort of started saying, you know, I don't want to be doing this, but I want to be doing that. And I don't want to be working on my psychiatric unit anymore. I want to be working in wellness or prevention. I don't want to be, you know, giving out medication sort of as like a band-aid to fix things. I really want to be at the primary level of teaching prevention. So I started like really just telling everyone everywhere what I wanted and looking for ways to change and just, you know, being open to anything. I would tell my advisor at school. I would tell my coworkers at work. I'd tell my family. I just wanted something different. So what I realize now is I was really creating a very clear vision of what I wanted to move towards. I mean, I didn't know how I was going to get there or what I was going to do, but I definitely was very clear about what I didn't want anymore and then in turn what I did want.
I love that. I love that. And I share that with my audience. So basically you really wanted a shift. You really wanted something different. And not only, you know, not only wanting something different, but you were passionate about wanting something different. And that's one of the things that I share with this, you know, wanting to be happy, internal happiness, of course. And you really have to want it. It has to be a priority over anything else. I say you have to want it like you want to breathe. So that is the first step. And you don't need to know how it's going to happen, but that wanting has to really, really, really be strong priority.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. It's kind of like you have to want to have something different more than you want to stay the same. You know, the desire for change has to outweigh, you know, the way that things have been going, the way that you've been living. You just really have to want it, like you said, inside, internally.
Mm-hmm. I love this. I love this. Do you feel the connection, Elizabeth? Do you feel the connection?
Absolutely, yes. I'm smiling here on the other end of the phone.
Okay, now I am too. yeah, okay. In fact, when I was watching one of your videos, I saw your vision board in the background.
Yeah, that's one of many. I do. I notice it too myself. I'm like, oh, look how funny that looks. But then I'm like, well, I do talk about it. So, you know, at least then folks know what I'm talking about. I'm actually practicing. So, yeah, I have one of many vision boards in the background of my videos. You're right.
Okay, can you explain to people that don't know what a vision board is?
Oh, absolutely. And I'd be happy to, because I actually just spent 2 weekends making a couple more. So a vision board, what at least the way I do it and the way I've done it, and I know there's several varieties, but I would gather magazines, books, articles, pictures, words, quotes, anything that I'm aspiring to or anything that I want to be in alignment with, I want to experience in my life, I want to enjoy, I want to even have some of the things or material possessions. So I spend time just kind of searching through all of these different mediums and cutting out, as I said, words, pictures, quotes, and even just colors, colorful things. Sometimes I see something that's bright and I'm just like drawn to the color. And then putting that, placing those on vision board, and it's a big cork board or poster board, and placing them in sort of a collage style. And then I have, usually with my boards, I have a central theme. So one theme may be focused on work. One theme may be focused on me as a person and how I want to grow. One theme may be focused on my family and what kind of house we want to live in. So I have a central theme. And then I use the vision boards. I keep them in my office. And I sit and I, you know, meditate in front of them and observe them and look at them every day and just feel those experiences and how they're happening. And that's actually a new key for me and a new lesson I've learned, is the actual feeling really helping bringing that towards us. If we really can feel it happening, we're more likely to feel those sort of vibrations and then emit those vibrations and then, you know, receive them back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what I was going to add to that. It is about our feeling, because honestly, if you feel it, if you really, really can feel what you want, where you want to be, that is, and I mean, feel it so much that you can taste it, that you will attract, a like attracts like, and your vibration is very, very important. That's one of the things that we talk about on this show, is our personal vibration and how the personal vibration attracts like vibrations. And the good thing is, the crazy, wonderful thing is that you can actually learn how to set your own vibration at any time, in any place, no matter what happens. And that is really the key. But it's an acquired skill, like any other skill, you know, a skill of music or a skill of surgeon. It's like any other skill. It's just something that you have to practice. But you can choose and your vibration. And when you are in that state, and you're saying that you're working on that now, because I'm feeling you. It's not that easy for me because I'm just a black and white kind of gal, and but I definitely know what you're talking about. Feeling what you want, where you want to be, and then it attracts to you. And I do know that is 100% doable. And it's what I was going to ask you about the vision boards. Now, so you look at all your vision boards every day?
No, not every day. So the way that I have them set up is they're in my office. So they are in my line of vision. So if I kind of am looking at the computer for a long time, I'll take a break and look over at the board. Or I'm in there anyway doing other things, or I'm working around doing like creative work and the boards are around me. I don't get to sit and kind of look at them as I'm doing this every day. But because I know what's on them, when I do some of my other practices, the one I was just mentioning about this feeling, that's kind of new for me, I kind of pull from what's on there and then bring that into my sort of visualization that I'm doing in the evening. So it may not be the board right in front of me, but I'm around them so much that I can kind of picture them and then I can go from there.
Okay, I love that. Now, how did you arrive at, okay, I want to start feeling them? How did you get to that point? Was it suggested, or you did just, how did you evolve into wanting to feel?
Well, that's a great question, Rebecca, and actually it's very, very timely because this is like brand spanking new. So in my
Hello? Hello? Okay, hold on a second. Hold on, Elizabeth, because I can't hear you. Hold on. Oh, she's gone. I'm sure she'll call back. She's going to have to call. Oh, there she is. Hold on just a second. You're back.
Okay. I'm having technical difficulties just as you are. I apologize.
No need to apologize, sweetie. We don't do that here. No apologies. That's just what happened. Keep going.
Okay. So I was saying it's very timely because each month I focus on a theme. So I may write articles around the theme. I may talk in a workshop around the theme. So this month of July actually happens to be abundance. And so I did some research on the internet. I was trying to gather more expert data. I was reading some books, and I found a man's YouTube video who just talked about, you know, how to actually create a business. And that the real important part is this feeling, and this is the part that I struggle with. As you said, it's acquired skill. I mean, it's challenging if you're not, you know, if you haven't done it before. It's brand new, so I really have to practice. But yeah, so I actually was doing some research and decided, you know, I do these things in speak, I do these things in work, I do these things right. Now I really have to bring my heart into it and do these things in feeling and then, you know, see what the benefit is.
I love that. I love that. Now I have a question. Have you heard of Abraham Hicks?
I have, yes, I have. I've heard of him as far as other people telling me. I have not read or, you know, learned any material in that way yet, no.
Okay, well, this is it's going to really, really, really help you with your with this vibrational journey that you want to be on. And it is, actually, Abraham is a channeled, entity and channeled through Esther Hicks. And she, it is just a fascinating story. Trust me, you're going to just go crazy. And that is all they talk about is the feeling and feeling good and they call it going into the vortex where, you know, the best feeling you can possibly have. And I'm telling you, when you go to the, it's abrahamhicks.com. Abraham is a channeled energy, meaning that there's this, all this energy, all this positive energy is speaking through this woman. I don't know if you're into that, but it's really, really true. And this energy, which has been speaking through Esther Hicks for years now, she basically does seminars, and that's what she talks about. And you're just going to go crazy. Trust me. In fact, that quote that I had earlier, you cannot have a happy ending without a happy journey. That's from Abraham. So check that out if you want, sister.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you very much. I will.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any book that you recommend more than another?
For the vibration?
Well, has she written any books? I thought that I thought some
yes.
of my teachers told me she's written books, so I just wondered if there was any book. Yeah.
Yeah, there are books that she wrote. There are books, and when you go to the website, you can. But I don't know. For me, I like the. Oh no, Elizabeth. She's gone again, Elizabeth. I love this. Call back, Elizabeth. I can't hear you. Okay, so while we're waiting for Elizabeth to call back, I also want to just share that with my audience that Abraham Hicks is a. We already said that already, but Abraham Hicks, the videos, it's like asking, and there's a big seminar, and so there are people that, hold on a second, let me see if this is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, is that you?
Yes, I'm trying from a different number. I really apologize.
Hey.
I'm not allowed to.
No apologies, because believe me, sweetie pie, I can talk for hours, and I would just, and it actually just gives us a break. It gives the audience a break, so no apologies necessary at all. So we left off at talking about Abraham Hicks. Yeah, check that out. And there are books, but I just watch a video, and basically it's a seminar, and people are gathered in the seminar, and they ask questions to this channeled energy. It's not Esther talking. It's this channeled energy talking. And I mean questions about anything. So you're gonna love it. But let's get back to you. I was on your website, and you were talking about there are some easy and practical exercises to that you are sharing with your audience. And can you kind of give us a few of those easy and practical exercises for better health and mental health?
Sure. So right on the site, you're right, Rebecca. So the first thing I love to do is talk with people about time. I actually interviewed close to 100 nurses. I did a survey, and many folks filled it out, and I'm very grateful when I receive feedback like that, because it just helps me understand what people are struggling with. And the number one challenge that people were up against with regards to their well-being or making healthy choices or, you know, being able to exercise, just doing healthy behaviors, was time, not having enough time. And that was the response from basically every person that filled out the survey. I don't have enough time. So I start many occasions, workshops or programs, or as you mentioned on the website, with time sort of savings tips. And people are like, really? Time management? That's it? That's not very it's not very glamorous, right? But lots of times we, as you mentioned earlier, we are kind of priority ranking without even thinking about it, you know, what's the most important thing, and is it work, or is it family, or is it staying for overtime, or is it my own health and well-being? So the first thing I like to talk to people about is time, because if we don't have time for ourselves, you know, what's really going on there? So one of the practical things that someone can do is looking at sort of your distractions, and this can be, let's apply it to if you're a writer and you enjoy writing articles or writing blogs or writing in a journal, writing stories, and you notice that you don't have enough time to write. You're saying, oh, you know, I have to work, or, oh, I have to take care of my family, I have to cook, I have all these other things going on. So I encourage people to sort of look at their distractors and distractions. There are so many things out there that can suck and waste our time, sort of going on Facebook for hours on end, you know? So a practical, I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
No, I was saying,
So a practical strategy I share with folks is to really first look at your distractors and then see if you can make a list of the things that are kind of taking your time or draining your time or distracting you away from time, and then sort of seeing which ones you can eliminate and then observe. Just everything, I like to approach everything as an experiment, so just sort of observe yourself and see, now that I've been more mindful, now that I'm spending only 20 minutes on Facebook, now that I am not watching reality television when I get home, now that I, you know, cutting some of these distractions out and seeing if you have more time for yourself. So that's just one of the things I like to speak to. And I have many other time tips, but as I said, they're not always very glamorous and exciting.
No. I love that. And let me share with the audience your website. It's one word. One word, livingsublimewellness.com. That's livingsublime, SUBLIME, wellness.com. So for people that want, my audience that wants more information on you and your, you know, who you are and what you do, please go to Elizabeth's website. But I want to say something about this time, Elizabeth. I just want to add my two cents. On my show, on Reality Spirituality, I talk about there are two entities of creation. There's universal creation, what the universe has created, and what man has created. And man created the idea that of time. In the universe, there is no such thing as time. And so I wanted to share that this time thing, you know, I only like to speak for myself. When I was stuck on this, I don't have any time, and all time's running out, and I'm this old, and time, isn't it time for this to happen? Isn't it time? I have eliminated the whole concept of time in my life. Now, of course, if I have an appointment, if I have a radio show, I've got to, you know, start on time, or if I have to catch a plane, I have to be there on time. But in my personal life, I have really tried to eliminate this concept of time, because for me, it was a topic that didn't make me feel good if I didn't have enough of it. And I like to be more like the universe. My example to live is to live like the universe, and the universe has no concept of time, so I don't want a concept of time either. And what I say is, I'm going to do, there's nothing I should do, but there's things that I'm inspired to do. And whenever the time comes when I am inspired to do it, that's what I'm going to do. So that's my take on it. What do you think?
You know, that's awesome because actually in the workshop that I do around time, I have 7 tips. And some of them, they begin concrete, like the one I suggested. They begin more kind of practical and hands-on that someone can apply. And then as I go through the 7 tips, the last tip I speak to is, well, really, this whole conversation is arbitrary because there is no time and space, as you just mentioned. And I say, you know, what is this concept? It's a man-made creation. Back in the old and ancient days, you know, we lived and rose and slept by the sun and, you know, there wasn't clocks and we didn't have this experience. And the other thing I thought when you were speaking, as I mentioned before I had my technical difficulty, the whole research I've been doing lately on this abundance topic, I don't have time, is actually another lack mentality statement. Because there is time for every single thing you want to do. There's, as you just were speaking, there's, you know, it's when it's right. It's when it's in line with the universal energy. It's when it's in line with you and what you want to be doing. Like you said, I don't like that word should either. So it's when you want to be doing it. So there's plenty of time. It's just sort of how we prioritize it and what we want to do when our energy feels drawn to what we want to do. So I, yes, as you were saying, I'm sitting here nodding and nodding. Yes, she's right on, right on.
Oh, gee, I'm right again. you know, and when you were talking, this is something else that I want to add to this time subject, which is really, really important because I don't know about you, but I used to feel bad about this. Don't have enough time, and but this is the other thing. I've been doing this radio show now. In August, it'll be 2 years on a different station, but radio for 2 years. And when you were talking, I'm thinking, you know what? It wasn't time for me to do a radio show 10 years ago. So everything does happen when it's time to happen. Everything is important. It is in perfect order when it's time to evolve. It, you know, and it's so, as much as I try to push or want or force, and the universe, hey, they have their plan, and I'm not going to push them or rush them or shake them up and have it when I want it. So I've really relaxed with that time thing. I just wanted to share that also, that everything happens in the perfect timing. Hello?
Yep, I'm here. I agree. I'm just reflecting and sort of, I mean, I don't have anything hugely, you know, wise to add because I think that, you know, I'm in agreement with what you're sharing, and I think that actually for me as well, in my own transition, as I continue to learn, as I continue to grow, you know, when I'm trying to force something, it just doesn't work, and it's a struggle, and it's hard, and nothing's coming out right, and I get frustrated, and then I'm irritated. So, yeah, maybe that's not the time for those things to be happening. So, absolutely agreeing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was really funny because I'm like, hello, you know, wondering, are you still here? You know, one of the things you said on, I was watching one of your videos, and it was really, really interesting to me because that's another one of my favorite topics is self-care and self-love. And you were saying that you were just feeling irritated and exhausted, and self-love and self-care. I love that topic, and I think for me, again, I have to speak for me, I have to be number one. I have to be number one. And when I say that, I mean, whether it sounds another label, I don't like labels, but we only, you know, we have our language right now. Selfish, well, who cares? Because if I, when I am the best, when my vibration is so high, and this is what I say for every single day. When I say vibration high, it's really not high or low. I like to use the example of water and how water can go into different forms, and that you have the ice cube water, and then you have the water that flows out of the faucet, and then you have the water that is that you can boil and it's steamy. So those are three examples of states of water. And when you're in this ice cube state, you're very dense. And that dense can represent, I like to represent the vibration with that dense state. And when you are flowing, you know, the water coming out of the faucet, you're even at more. But when you're at the steamy state, then regardless of what happens to you or regardless of what anybody says to you or does to you, you're so steamy and you're feeling so, you know, you're at this state that nothing can affect you when your vibration doesn't go up or down. So this dense feeling, when you're an ice cube, this is just an example, when you're an ice cube, you know, you got a lot of, I mean, somebody can chip at you or, you know, you can chip apart, break apart. But my whole goal or purpose in every waking moment is to make sure that I'm steamy and steamy and steamy and airy and light. So what the hell was my point? My point was, so that vibrational state, when I always talked about self-love and self-care, that just to be mindful of where are you vibrating, where is your vibration, and that is my number one. I can feel when I'm a little dense. I can feel the difference. And at those times when I'm feeling that state of density, if you will, that's a day for me to be quiet. That's a day for me to not have too much conversation with anyone, because I know. Where I am, and that self-care thing and the self-knowing and feeling where you are is very important in my journey.
Yeah, you have to, you know, one of the things I like to speak to and teach on and write about is that awareness. And just the way that we are with information these days, with work can be brought into the bedroom, the dinner table, because everything is at our hip. You know, everyone has everything attached to their cell phone, and so it's just, you're kind of turned on all the time. So in that rush, in that sort of, I have to get going, I've got to get moving, I have to get this done, it's kind of that rush. It feels like this rat race of, you know, constant movement. So I also encourage people to slow down, which is like, oh my God, slowing down? How can I even do that? But as you just mentioned, if we're more aware of our physical body, if we can feel our energy, then we'll be more aware of, like you said, during the day, is that a day where I can be out and about and I'm socializing and I'm helping people and I'm working at my best? Or is this a more kind of hibernation day where I need to take some self, like, reflective time, take some downtime, take some time to just restore and recharge and maybe, you know, lie around and rest? Because being on this constant going, this constant movement, it's just not natural. So we need the uptime and the downtime. But how are we going to even know that? How will we even be aware of it if we're constantly rushing and moving? So, you know, that awareness is key. But to your original point, I have done lots of videos and writing on self-love and self-love as self-care, because I feel that, you know what, we know our coworkers, we get to know our friends, We know our family. You know, we know all these people. Sometimes in that rush, we forget us, and we don't even know who we are, and we don't even know what we enjoy anymore. And we've become all of the hats that we're wearing, but how are we actually ourselves? So, you know, when we're struggling with priorities and struggling with saying we don't have enough time, it's because we're not appreciating ourselves and putting ourselves first. So when we slow down, appreciate us, love us for who we are, then we can, you know, do what we want and do those healthy, make those healthy decisions.
I love, you know what, I have written down the word hibernation, and you said it while you were talking, and I'm thinking, wow, we were so connected. But yes, just like, you know, I like to look at the animal kingdom, for example. And they know when they're tired, and they know when they need to take a break. But one of the things I want to add is self-care and self-love. You know, I don't know about you, but I didn't even know who I was until a few years ago. I didn't even know who is Rebecca. Who am I? I know what my parents told me. I, you know, what I was. I know what, you know, I know what I did. I know what I've experienced, but I really didn't know who I was. I mean, I thought I took a this was years ago. Decades, maybe 2 decades ago, I took a personality test years ago, and I tested. When I got the results back, I said, this isn't me. And you know who the person was that I tested like? My father. I took a personality test, and I tested my father. I mean, this was a perfect description of my dad. Now, it really started me on this other journey of who the hell am I? What do I really like? Not what am I supposed to like or what was I taught to like. Well, let me tell you something. This is what I've discovered, Elizabeth. I'm lazy, and I love it. I mean, embracing, I really don't want to do anything all the time, all day long. It's really not me. I'd rather just kind of kick back and slow. Yeah, on my gifts, I've got gifts to share, and I share them on the radio. But I like to kick back and enjoy whatever I want to do. And sometimes, honestly, I would be upset with myself if I sat down and didn't do anything during the day. I could not be comfortable with just sitting in a chair and not doing anything all day. I would, oh, gee, you're not productive. Oh, lazy, you're. And now I can honestly say that I could sit in a chair if I'm reading or not reading for a weekend and be okay with it. it's just a lot of things that were attached, and I'm thinking, just shaking it off and being okay with really what I am, what I was doing. And let me say this, always connected. No, my cell phone is not always on. I told my mother, Mom, cell phone's going to be off for 2 days. I'm okay. Talk to you whenever. But it's really important. For me, it's really important just to have hibernation time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You just were, you know, you mentioned several times during our discussion how you and I have been connected over this call and how there's so much synergy between us. As you were just talking, you know, I lately, because of this kind of reflective work I'm doing around this abundance energy, and really I'm trying to get much more clear around my purpose and my passions. And so I have been doing sort of some reflective writing about who am I and trying to figure it out. Well, I can't think of things I enjoy. I mean, I think of a couple and I'm like, okay, I know I like that. I know I like yoga. I know I like looking at pretty flowers. I know I like sitting in nature. But as you were talking and saying, you know, you found out you liked being lazy, I'm like, thank God, I think I'd like it too. And And I am one who, you know, if I'm sitting for a whole day, I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't get anything done today. And I start feeling terrible. But now that I know, maybe I enjoy being lazy, that, hey, this is awesome. So I'm glad we have that in common, too.
Yeah. I mean, I really believe, well, for me, that I was just conditioned, you know, come on, parents condition you, life conditions you, television, whatever it is, the people on the street, society, you know, it's this world of do, accomplish. And if you don't, you're a loser. I have a book that I'm going to be writing, and you know what, Elizabeth, I've been writing this book for 5 years. And I even had a conversation with my son, and he told me, he says, well, Mom, your book's not going to be written unless you actually put some effort into it and write it. And then I was reading something on Eckhart Tolle, and you've heard of Eckhart Tolle, correct? Yes, of course.
Yes.
And it took him 17 years to write his book.
Mm.
The Power of Now, 17 years. And that's what I threw back at my son. Well, it took Eckhart Tolle 17 years to write his book. But it's more of a conditioning. It's a mental relaxation that I'm okay with whatever I do, and I'm okay with whatever I don't do. I mean, the universe, that's like I said earlier, you know, I want to be more like those guys. And they love and they embrace whatever we do and whatever they don't do. The universe, honestly, is really not impressed with titles. And the universe is not that I'm saying, no, there's nothing wrong with titles, but the universe, that doesn't turn the universe on. This is my opinion. The universe is turned on by what is your vibration and how do you feel, and because they love us and they embrace us regardless of what we do and what we don't do, just by this life, just by having our, you know, the gift that we are alive. That's it. So I wanted to share that with you and my audience, and it's a shift in thinking.
Yes, it is, and it can be extremely transformational. I mean, you know, the whole premise, as you mentioned, you're looking at my website and my videos, and I've done the same preparing for the show. So the whole premise of this show and this happiness and this inner peace, I mean, once we let go of the expectation, once we let go of our attachment to what other people may have placed on us, and just really, you know, again, connect with what we like to do, connect with being comfortable in our own skin, being still, connect with even knowing ourselves, you know, knowing us as people, not as what other people kind of call us. That then, it just makes it so much easier. And when it's easier and carefree, it's fun. And we didn't talk a lot about it today, and I know we're close to time, but fun is something that I absolutely align with health and do a lot of speaking in my work to fun. So if we're not enjoying ourselves, it's just not happy. It's not healthy. It's not fun.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, now I'm really going crazy over here because, Elizabeth, guess what my middle name is?
I don't know. Fun?
Yeah, it's fun! Fun! Fun. And oh, my goodness. Fun. Now, it's such a big topic. I can't believe we're close to the end of the show. Fun. Interesting. Yeah. So what do you do to have fun?
What do I do? Well, I love being at the beach. That's where I am right now, and that's why I've had these technical difficulties because we don't have landlines. And so I've been, how am I going to do this call from the beach? But I'm at the beach. I love sitting on the beach. I love enjoying nature. I know, you mentioned watching our animal friends. I love watching animals. I love looking at flowers. I love walking. I like to read and do jigsaw puzzles. I just love, I do love yoga. And then otherwise, I love being on vacation. I love traveling. I love to travel. So I do. I love sitting around, just going to new places. Yeah.
I have to say that my middle name is Fun, and I create fun even if I'm here in my house by myself. sometimes I'm looking in the mirror and I'm making jokes, or sometimes, but wherever I am, I think it's one of my gifts just to be able to create fun and create fun out of nothing. You know, you don't have to. Anyway, yesterday when I was teaching, I actually am an aerobic instructor for over 30 years, and yesterday I was teaching a spinning class, a cycle class, and of course, part of the class, I mean, they know that I'm going to, it's like putting on a show. So now I get off the bike and people are sweating and I take their towels and I pat their heads and then I make them sing. I mean, just lighten up, everybody. Just lighten up. This life is supposed to be, not supposed to be, but it's light. And relax and breathe. And it's not so serious. Nothing is that serious. It really isn't. I don't even care if it's death. It's not that serious. It's just not. The universe doesn't see anything seriously. Oh, this is a serious problem. So again, if we want to be just like the universe and just roll through this life like the universe, ask yourself, is it universal or is it man-made? They have a lot of instances where it's serious and it's really not. But, oh my goodness, Elizabeth, I'm going to give you the last couple of minutes because we've got 2 more minutes of the show and I cannot believe how fast this hour has gone. Go for it, sister.
Yes, you're right. Time has flown, and I've really enjoyed myself. So I'm glad to be on your show, and thank you for having me. And thank you for everyone out there listening and listening to the replays. So I think that, you know, even in this is a perfect example. We could have approached the show as this serious radio interview with serious questions that we seriously prepared. Or as we did, we came on the radio and we kind of played with each other and were flexible when different things happened with technology and, you know, just laughed and just talked about what we enjoyed and just saw such connection. And I think that is another thing, you know, I'm learning and I'm realizing and I'm observing in life is the more that we are our unique self, the more we're connected to everyone and supported. So just, you know, being myself, I think earlier you mentioned when we're our best self, we kind of help others shine to be their best selves. So, you know, we shouldn't be holding back. We shouldn't be worried about what others think. We shouldn't be kind of like, you know, playing small. Just be huge, be successful, be yourself, and then you let others be successful and happy in themselves, and then everything is connected to each other. So it's just really, it's a lot of fun when you just start playing around with these concepts and, you know, shifting your heart and mindset. So thank you very much for having me.
And I love how you said, you know, this is a serious radio show, serious questions. Oh, hell no, it's not a serious radio show. It's a light radio show. But I want everyone to know that you can find Elizabeth Gala, and her website is Living Sublime Wellness, livingsublimewellness.com. Or you can just Google Elizabeth Scala, spelled S-C-A-L-A. And before we log out, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for listening to today's show. And if you listen again tomorrow, where it's just going to be me and the audience and their questions. And if you'd like to receive my free monthly newsletter, just email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com, RebeccaNorrington.com. And if you want more information on the coaching programs I offer, just visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. And until next time, until tomorrow, actually, remember, one of your greatest gifts that you have from the universe is your ability to choose. In any situation, in any circumstance, or in any relationship, you and you alone can choose how you want to react, and you get to choose how you want to feel. And now that you know how powerful you really are, you can begin choosing. How are you going to spend the rest of these precious moments of your life? You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Norrington. And until tomorrow, have a wonderful, great day. I love you all.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to be real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Get real.